I'd like to read for a moment in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 contains an account in the life of Jesus that will be significant to us for our consideration tonight. We'll begin in verse 1 of Luke chapter 7. This is after the Lord had delivered a sermon in which verse 1 records that when he had concluded all these sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders to the Jews, elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were servants who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. This is a very fascinating portion of the life of Jesus and this transaction that takes place here between him and a Roman. Now, much of the gospel accounts is focused on Jesus' dealings with the Jewish people. But from time to time, we see Jesus dealing with Greeks and Romans. And this situation is one of them. And it is one of the most fantastic situations of all the Gentile things that Jesus had run into in his life on this earth. As he is there in Capernaum, we have a centurion, a Roman centurion. Okay, this is a man in the Roman army, and he has authority. He certainly is not the authority. He receives his authority from the higher places of Rome. He receives his authority from those who are commanders over him, and ultimately he receives authority from the emperor of Rome. And this man heard of Jesus. That's all it says, is that he heard about Jesus. And so what has he heard? Well, certainly, maybe he's heard some of the teachings, but he has certainly heard of the things in which Jesus is capable of. And even though Jesus was not capable of what, Jesus hadn't proved himself anyway to be capable of what the centurion had asked of him, the centurion trusted that Jesus could do it. And there are several things for us to consider here about this text. Number one, Jesus and the centurion never meet. They never meet. And that's very significant in the text. There are probably people, I think I've heard people say things like this. I don't know how to word it exactly, but you know, the idea is essentially, I wish I could have seen, you know, I wish I could have been there. Then my faith would just be so strong if I could have actually seen the miracles, if I could have seen the Lord on the cross, if I could have seen Him risen from the dead, all those things. Now, every Christian wishes that they could have seen it face to face. But the fact is, that's not what is needed for faith. That doesn't even come into play when it comes to our faith. Jesus told His disciples, go into all the world, preach to every creature under heaven. And provide them with the word. Provide them with the word. And this centurion is so interesting because he is a lot like you and I. Now you might say, I don't have this kind of faith. Well, you know, that's another issue we got to deal with. But he is a lot like you and I in that he never saw the Lord. He only heard. Just like you, just like me. We have only heard. And so we can't say, oh, what great faith I would have if I could have, touched his nailed, scarred hands. What great faith I would have had. Jesus said, I haven't found such great faith. That's what he ended this discussion on there, verse 9. I have not found such great faith. Not even in Israel. Not even for the people who should have understood and were waiting and had been given the prophecies of my coming. So, we don't need to see in order to have faith. We don't need to see in order to have incredibly strong faith. And this centurion stands as evidence for us today. And the only difference is the fact that he could have. You know, between you and I, the only difference is that he could have seen the Lord. He could have went out there. He could have went out to him. But he didn't. He had some concerns about this. It is evident that he did not feel himself to be worthy. And for whatever reason that is, I don't know, but he did not feel himself to be worthy to approach the Lord, to allow him in his house, or to even, you know, to even be around him. So he sends some of the elders of the Jews. That's what he does first. This is interesting. He doesn't feel himself to be worthy, so he gets the most, you know, technically worthy, the most worthy men in Israel, all right? The most worthy Jewish people, okay? The elders. And not, you know, we're not arguing whether they truly were worthy or not, or you know, who exactly they were or what their faith in Christ was like. That's not the argument. But in this guy, in this fellow's mind here, this centurion, he chooses the most worthy in his mind to be able to approach Jesus on this matter. And they do, and they present an argument to him. I doubt it is the argument was the reason why Jesus went, but their argument was that, number one, this man is deserving or worthy. Secondly, he loves our nation, and he built us a synagogue. So we learn a little bit about this centurion. He was certainly sympathetic to the Jewish nation of which the Romans ruled under. He was not harsh by any means. He was certainly gentle, and we get a little bit of a glimpse of his nature here by some of the things in which they are saying. And this is very important to these Jewish people because this man has authority. And this man, at the time, he loves the nation of the Jews. And he built a synagogue for the Jews. And so it's important to these Jewish elders that that Jesus, you know, grants his request and goes to him. But again, it's probably these arguments they have presented is probably not something of a concern for Jesus so much, but rather to leave us this in the text, this example of faith. And so Jesus goes, and as he nears the house, all of a sudden, some friends of the centurion leave the house, they exit, and they approach the Lord, and they say in verse 6, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." So what we have here is the friends speaking on behalf of the centurion. And they are coming out and saying, "I am not worthy," as in the centurion is not worthy for you to enter my house. And then he goes further in verse 7 saying, "I'm not even worthy to approach you face to face out here. I am not deserving of that." But at the end of verse 7, he says something fantastic. He says, "But say the word, and my servant will be healed." Say the word. He explains himself, or at least these are the friends explaining the position of the centurion. In verse 8, "For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." And this is where Jesus marvels. Jesus is amazed at what he is hearing from this Roman. Now, this Roman says several things that show us his viewpoint and show us his view of Jesus. He says, "I also am a man placed under authority." See that? "I also." That means there is a similarity that the centurion has in his mind, a similarity between him and Jesus, when he says, "I also am a man placed under authority." So that means the centurion understands where he is, that he is a man under the authority of the Roman powers. He is also making known to Jesus that the centurion understands that Jesus is a man under powers, under a great authority. But what is fascinating is the centurion realizes the fact that they are so similar in this way. Men placed under someone else's authority, and yet he says, "I am not worthy. I'm not worthy to talk to you. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm not worthy even to approach you outside." This shows that who he views Jesus as, and who he views the authority by which Jesus has come, and the authority by which Jesus is doing the things that he's doing, he views that as so far greater than the Roman Empire. He views that authority as so far greater that it is not something where he could fall on his hands and knees and bow before the Lord. He can't even approach the Lord. So what a fantastic distinction here with the centurion, who realizes the similarities between he and the Lord, but realizes that the Lord is on so far of a greater scale, I mean, it's not even to be compared. So he says, "I'm placed under authority." So he understands that Jesus is placed under authority, but a much higher authority than Rome. "I'm a man placed under authority, and I have soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes." What's his point? His point is that he is not really the authority. The centurion himself, when he tells his, you know, those under him, go or come or do this or do that, he is not really the authority. What gives him the power to do that and for them to listen just like that is because of the authority over the centurion, which would be the Roman powers. So that is what gives the centurion the power or the authority to be able to say, go or come or do this or do that, and everyone follows him and listens to him right away. So we have the centurion understanding that Jesus is not just out there alone, that he's not some magician. Okay, he's not some sorcerer, he's not this guy doing these hoaxes, or even if he had some form of power that the centurion believed he might have had, the centurion realizes he's not out there alone, but there is someone higher. There is someone above Jesus. By which there is an authority there by which Jesus is able to open his mouth and speak, and whatever comes out, that is what happens. And so his point is, all you need to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. So he understands the position of Jesus probably better than most anyone else, maybe on the planet at that time, understood the position and identity of Christ. He had it down. He understood it. And Jesus marveled at this. He says, I haven't found such great faith. Such trust. Trust in the Lord, certainly, but trust in the authority that the Lord came from. And this is something that is so important for us to consider when we read of the miracles of the Lord, is the fact that when Jesus was performing miracles, he was proving the authority of God, the authority of his Father in heaven. And the centurion understood that. Without ever having to see, he only heard, like you and I, he only heard about Jesus. He only heard about the great things in which Jesus has done. And this is the faith which he had. He understood that if someone is doing these things, and certainly no one else has been able to do these things, but if this man is doing these things, then he is doing it by an authority that is not man-made, an authority that is not on this earth, an authority that is not the Roman Empire or, you know, the Jewish nation or anything like that, an authority that is not from kings of this earth, but an authority that it, you know, spans to the heavens. A true God with power. Power to do something that on mankind is not possible to do. So the centurion looks at himself on this level. He tells a soldier, go to this land, and he goes. So he's got the authority from the Roman Empire to do that, to say that, and the soldier understands and respects that authority. He has that kind of power. But since he has placed the Lord on such a totally different scale, he's able to realize that Jesus saying the word, he's not telling someone to go to another city or something like that. He's actually saying the word to have someone be healed. Someone who is almost dead to be healed. That is great faith. Faith that came by hearing. As Romans 10:17 tells us that all faith comes by. This is a profound example to us today. I think it's something we can take comfort in. You know, I think this is comforting. There is something about the Roman centurion that we have a connection with. A man of faith which came by hearing and hearing alone. And look at the effects which it had in his life. In verse 10 it says, and those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. So it was immediately, because he wasn't far from the house. So the servants come back, all of a sudden this man's well again. Walking around doing fine. And it doesn't even say in the text that Jesus even said a word. Said a word, you know, about the man to be healed. But the man was healed. This is the power of Christ. This is the authority of God. And this is the same authority that, similar to the centurion who says, by authority, come, and people come, so our God of this great authority also says, come. Come. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and I will give you rest. Jesus certainly gave that household rest. He gave that centurion great rest. He gave that man near death and sickness and ailments and pain. He gave him rest that night on a physical level. But what Jesus has called us to is something far greater, a spiritual rest, a removal from our sins, a life of holiness. So if that describes our need,